I'm Phil Henry. All the voices you hear on the show today are all performed by me. And welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's a Thursday. It's the, whatever the hell it is, the 8th of December. And we're going to do a show here that has been requested by a number of people. Well, mostly people inside the Phil Henry Show, in the confines of most of the people that live in my head. Let's put it that way. We're going to do a show called The Best of YouTube today. Part of the reason for this is because, yes, it has been a very busy week away from the show, and it's been difficult to put a show together this week. That's number one. But also, we have had people asking about our YouTube channel, which is The Real Bud Dickman. That's youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman. If you go over there, you're going to see lots and lots and lots and lots of clips from the show. And that's what we're going to be featuring on our show today. We're going to be featuring clips from the YouTube channel. Not only the audio, but the video. So if you're a Backstage Pass subscriber, you're going to be seeing as well as hearing, seeing as well as believing, these show clips. We're really proud of them. They are representative of the show as it is today. And we think they're ready-made classics in and of their own damn selves. So why don't we kick it off? We've got a number of show clips to get to today, some of them having to do with Robert and his candy problem. We've got this one right here that was actually created for us by a listener of ours. These are his puppets, my soundtrack, and we'll take a look at it right now. It's based on and is, in point of fact, one of our Dr. Ed Elcott, our Elcott the Next Step bits. So here it is. And this, I believe, is an encounter between Dr. Elcott and the overlords. He's being, you know, leveled. And Casper Stout, one of the priesterlies, is there alongside to try to help him through this horrific mess. Here he is, Elcott. And this comes to us, I guess, from earlier this year.
And good morning from the Elcott Redeemery in Wampaw, New York. I'm Ed Elcott, or if you will, Dr. Ed Elcott. Some people have called me Dr. Ed, and while I'm not a formal man, I think it best during these proceedings and these semi-rituals that you refer to me as Dr. Ed Elcott. I would appreciate that very much. Along with me is our priesterly West, Casper Stout. Good morning.
My name is Casper Stout. I am a pre-overlord. That means within the next 4 months, I will be made an overlord. And as such, I will be allowed the beginnings, the trappings, and the monkery.
I won't ask the question.
Very good. That is a step in the right direction for you, Dr. Elcott. Dr. Elcott usually at this point starts complaining about how he's not an overlord yet.
No, I'm perfectly fine on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning here in upstate New York to live the existence of a priesterly, now going on my 22nd year with no end in sight.
All right, well, he was doing so good. He was doing so good. And now he's fallen such a long, long way. That is the words of Hevna Elcott from the Elcott pamphlet, The Big Thick One, which, by the way, you can send away for to our Elcott University bookstore. That is Elcott University in Wampaw, New York, on the grounds of Wampaw University in Wampaw, Elcott, New York. How you doing, Ed?
Yeah.
I no take drugs no more.
Elcott, Elcott.
That's our call to prayer. There it is. Our call to prayer. We go to the induction arch. I no take drugs no more.
Now, we will have a little bit of breakfast, or what we call the beginning movement. That is that which passes through the system.
What you're hearing are the overlords expelling. You and I call it passing gas, but when you reach the high, pure level of an overlord...
Well, let's just say what it is.
Yes.
When an overlord farts, this is what it sounds like.
And just on cue.
Right on cue, as I was going to demonstrate it, here's one of the overlords now. Would you please fart, sir?
Thank you.
Oh, you're knocking out. You're knocking up. I didn't mean any disrespect.
Yahoo! You don't just walk up to an overlord and say, would you please fart, sir? Because nothing will make an overlord reach for that level gun like that. I ought to know. I'm Casper Stout, and in order for me to have become a pre-overlord, I had to put up with all of that chicken stuff from the overlords.
God damn, open a window, man.
Elcott, The Next Step. A presentation of Elcott Wampaw University, Wampaw, Elcott, New York. All rights reserved.
Yeah. There it is, Elcott, The Next Step, and that is, that's a clip from earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken. Could be from 2015, I don't know. Coming up next now is Robert's Candy Problem, and this is a clip that is, again, it's on our YouTube channel. It is from 2016. July of 2016 is when it was put up on YouTube. You can go see all of these at, as I said, our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and today, as I mentioned, we're doing a kind of a best of YouTube show because we've got all of these clips, the audio as well as the video over on YouTube, and we'd like you to go and
see them, you see?
We got a bunch for you to listen to today here on this very special show. And as I mentioned, this is a show that people have been asking for. And it's also a show that is very convenient for us because it's a little bit easier to do a show like this when I've had the week that I've had, which has been, quite frankly, from hell. Not really, but close. All right, let's check it out here. This, again, from 2016. And it is a bit called Robert's Candy Problem here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, but I turned out all right. I'm managed at the gas stations now.
You turned out all right. As far as, you know, finally you turned out all right. You started out a big, the dead weight, you know, laying around here watching Animal Planet, getting off on eating the Pez dispenser, laying on the couch. I never told Mr. Henry all the things you did. Laying on the couch all day long.
Oh, come on, honey.
No. Laying on the couch. All day long, eating pears, eating a box out, a box of Milk Duds, and then you turn on Forensic Files, and you watch Animal Planet, then another box of Milk Duds is done. By dinner time, he polished off about 12, 15 boxes of Milk Duds.
Oh, Robert, that's ridiculous.
I knew a 12 or 15 bucks of Milk Duds.
You call me a liar? You know you did.
Well, yeah, but I don't do that anymore.
Don't mean that you didn't. And also jujubes and a jelly baby, too.
Hey, Mavis, it's Phil. Henry, how are you, dear?
I'm good, Phil. Where's that general?
Right here, General Shaw.
Yeah, I love listening to General. I love you. Got a great common sense take on things.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, Mavis, you tell me that Robert ate jujubes and...
Robert ate jujubes and Paul, when he was living with me. And you remember, Phil, you sleeping on the couch.
That was a very brief time.
Well, Phil, he would commandeer my television set once the puppy bowl over and over, goddamn it, God. Excuse my language, Phil. I got to hate puppies so much. You know, who hates puppies? No one. But Robert beat it into the ground. And the puppy, too. I'm kidding.
All right, dear. That's very funny.
Margaret, everyone knows you got a wad up your ass or something, so don't even worry. I'm trying to have a little bit of fun.
I beg your pardon. I'm trying to ask you a question, if you don't mind. Why would you humiliate me?
All right, Margaret, give it a rest, okay?
Yeah, just give it a rest.
Why'd you rest on this?
Margaret, don't you hurt that boy.
Get rid of him.
You mean get rid of him? You want me to take him downtown and throw him in a dumpster?
Yes, that's what you would do, too.
All right, now, Margaret, you watch your blood pressure, okay? Because Frank ain't around to watch it for you.
My question was this.
Well, that's
what
a short one.
What do you think of the fact that...
There's a short one from our YouTube channel, Robert's Candy Problem. Man, you know what I love about that bit is the... the fact that she singularizes milk duds. Now, the next one we have here is one called The General Tries Pokemon. Don't have any idea as to the nature of this bit, but what I can do is provide you guys with... Did he post all of these on just the same day? This is also a July 2016, so I don't know when this was, to be honest with you, but let's just enjoy it. It is The General, and it is a thing called The General Tries Pokemon. Shaw is on that challenge. You out of the car, General?
I'm out of the car right now at Chair Islands Boulevard and close to Rose. And I got the Pokemon now, bud. Get in the Pokemon. Don't breathe into the phone.
Now, you know what you're looking at.
Yeah, I know what I'm looking at.
Now, the Pokemon will be there on the GPS there on the phone.
I know that, Margaret. Right now, I'm looking at right here at the corner of Channel Islands and Rose. Right there. That's a some kind of a bat or some kind. Yeah, it looks like a bat. All right, I'm going to roll the ball. I've got the bat. I've nailed the bat. There's also several other wombat-looking things flying over the gas station here. You blew it. Now you didn't roll the ball. I rolled the ball.
All right, what General Shaw is looking at there are these little creatures that are a part of the Pokemon game.
Look, there's another one there. Roll it. Yeah, don't put your grubby... Oh, God, you got your greasy paws all over me, Dickman.
General Shaw is playing Pokemon, so you see these animals, these little creatures on your GPS on the phone, wherever you may be. You may be at your house, you may be out in front of your house. You'll see these creatures. What else are you seeing there, General?
And I got that bat looking. Now, here, look at it. It's a seal or some kind of a damn jellyfish. Get out of cannon. We're close to the ocean. There's a jellyfish here. Oh, shit.
Oh, watch the language, will you?
Who is that?
Margaret.
I can't be bothered. Yeah, get the thing.
You can't be bothered.
Take it easy, Margaret. All right, so where are you guys going next?
Where are we going? Well, we get in the car, maybe drive over here to probably go over to the harbor. We're going over to the harbor. We're going to go over where the fishing boats are, where the commercial fishermen are, you know, where men go down to the sea in boats. You know, that kind of whole Jack Kerouac stuff.
Yeah, okay, Jack Kerouac. So, all right, check back in with us.
Now, this is, frankly, this is as dull as hell. Very good.
So, there they are.
And that's Pokemon, huh?
Yeah, that's the game. Well, don't look at me. I didn't make the game up.
Sounds dull.
No, I can tell you, Lauren played a lot of Pokemon, Jack, and so far be it for me to say that it was dull, although, you know, people that understand it dig it. Let's put it that way. And everybody around here, we went for a walk one day down the street, and there's a little tavern at the corner near where I live. And the dude is out front. The cat, who's the bartender, is out front on the street, and he's doing weird things you can do with Pokemon, man. I don't even know. And I guess people are still... It was all the rage last summer, and I think it's probably still cranking pretty good. So that is a piece from YouTube. And as I mentioned, we're rolling a few clips from YouTube here on the show today. They're not really much more than maybe a minute 20. Some are a little bit longer, some are a little bit shorter, but we want you to hear and to see if you have Phil Hendry's, if you have a BSP to the Phil Hendry Show website, you can see them on video here. You can also go over to YouTube and take a look at them if you so wish, once the show is over with, as you're getting just a little bit of a taste of that. All right, and that's where that's at, man, believe me. All right, time to continue on now with our best of YouTube show here for today, the 8th of December. 2016 on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is one called Brexit Sandwiches. What's this all about? Alfie, check it out. Brexit Sandwiches.
Lonigan's Brexit Steaks. The Brexit, as you know, is a vote in England to see whether they wanted to stay or go from an organization that had too many Turkish people. But at Lonigan's Brexit, we serve Brexit sandwiches. That's right. Here's Chad Lonigan, our owner.
I came up with the idea to serve a Brexit sandwich because I thought it sounded like a breakfast sandwich. Now, because I'd been in an automobile accident, actually because I walked in front of a bus one day when I was despondent and thought that my breakfast place was going under, I didn't know that someday I would invent the Brexit sandwich.
The Brexit sandwich is really a smart idea. Sounds like a sandwich and eats like one, too.
Well, we saw it because it was based upon what happened in England. Look at this. My lips are getting even more paralyzed.
Yes, that's right. Lonigan gets even more paralyzed the more he talks, so we've got to give him a break.
Lonigan's Brexit Sandwiches, named after the Brexit vote.
You know the one where they voted to get out of England because there's too many Turkish people in France.
That's Lonergan's.
Nope, the lips are shot. Lonergan's breakfast sandwiches. Or breakfast sandwiches, if you will.
No, I won't. All right, time now for our pamphlet report and what we do every week. Lady Beth and I get into the car. We get into the sports car that we have, the convertible sports car, and she puts on a bandana, some kind of a hair babushka, whatever, and I have on sunglasses and my shirt open, and we drive around and we drop pamphlets in mailboxes. And in these pamphlets, we describe different sex positions, and we show them very graphically and tell the people that are receiving the pamphlets what we like. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm choking on something. Can I get that glass of water, Lady Beth? Thank you. So there'll be a picture of me and what I like sexually and a picture of Lady Beth and what she likes sexually in the different positions that we like it. And how we like it. And then we'll have our philosophy. And it'll say the August Selson Sexual Exploration Hour as heard on the podcast on the Phil Henry Show. And then it'll say, you know, please get in touch with us because we'd like to explore your sexual hang-ups and what's keeping you being sort of lame and not really, you know, letting it all hang out and be, you know, groovy. Okay. So we'll drop these pamphlets off in your mailbox. Now, if you come out to your mailbox and you're going through your mail and you see one of these pamphlets and you happen to look up to see if the person that dropped it there is still around, because the fact is it's not mailed. You'll see there's no postmark on it. If you see a red sports car, try not to react. We'll be in touch. We park around the corner and then we take out some binoculars and take a look at anyone that is coming down the driveway to get the pamphlet out of their mailbox. And I'm looking, and if I do see you, I'll back the... You may see the front of my sports car just back away behind a bush. But I would very, very much encourage you not to let that worry you. Last week, we dropped off a total of 21 pamphlets and booklets. And these are the pamphlets and booklets that describe the very beginning steps toward the full sexual exploration. Very graphic positions. Under my picture, you're going to see some very graphic positions, sex positions that I like. And then a big question mark, which basically means any takers. And then my phone number. And then under Lady Beth's picture are graphic descriptions of what she likes and also some of the, what would we call, the aids that you like, Lady Beth. Some of them are rather, Lady Beth likes her toys, but some of them come directly out of the garage. So you're going to misunderstand, perhaps. That's why she explains. She'll say, hi, I'm Lady Beth. Here are the sex positions I like. And here are my sex toys. And a lot of them, you would think, come right out of a lube bay. At, you know, a gas station. And it's not that bad. One of them, I think, is a grease gun. Am I right about that, Lady Beth? All right. Well, don't stop dancing. Keep dancing. And then it'll have any takers and a question mark. Lady Beth goes for both male and female partners. I'm strictly, I want female partners. Strictly, okay? I will, once a year, I will become a woman. But Lady Beth likes to watch that. That's got nothing to do with me. That's got everything to do with her. Again, nothing to do with me. Everything to do with her. All right, there you go. That is one. We segued from the Brexit sandwiches into that bit from August Selson. And, oh, my God, I totally forgot. That was the very first pamphlet one that we did. And the idea of them parking and then... And then backing up as the person comes down the driveway to get the pamphlet sort of cracked me up. So, as you know, on this show, I do all the characters, and I'm an audience of ones. You just heard me laughing at my own material, and it probably is in bad taste, or isn't. I don't know what it is, but I thought I'd go ahead and laugh at what I thought was funny there in the bit. Our next bit is, I'm not trying to be a smartass. I'm joking around here a little bit. Our next bit is boating safety with Coach Vernon Dozier.
I think I recall this bit, and it may have something to do with that incredible incident around Labor Day weekend of 2012, I think it was, on the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. And you've heard us reference it from time to time. And that was that group of boaters led by that bald-headed cat who I've since found out that dude owns a string of chicken joints in Memphis. Seriously, seriously, this cat owns this passel of I believe they're like takeout chicken joints. And the cat even, and he's made enough money whereby he was able to buy some venerable old mansion. I'm telling you the truth. There is a venerated old building, a mansion in Memphis, or in the Memphis area, that this gentleman bought and slapped the name of his chicken establishment on it. He didn't put a sign on it, but basically they cater events there. So they own the building. They say, hey, would you like to have your wedding at this mansion? And people, because it's gorgeous. I mean, you'd think, well, I would. I probably wouldn't, because I think I'd like to go with something other than fried chicken for my, you know, for the reception dinner or what have you. But nonetheless, they say, would you like to have your wedding reception here? And that's great. And then we will cater it. And it's a one price fits all sort of a thing. And it's a very beautiful building. So this dude had this accident on Lake of the Ozarks. He almost flipped his boat, sending his passengers slamming into the port side rail of this speedboat. The boat miraculously did not capsize. It stayed upright in the water, but there were several injuries, no serious injuries. And they got away with, their lives. But the price that this man has had to pay ever since is that this clip has been on YouTube. And you can look it up. Look up Lake of the Ozarks. Look up Lake of the Ozarks 7-person boat crash, something like that. Try to find one that is unadulterated, that is the pure, raw footage from Lake of the Ozarks television. And it exists. Because people have taken it, obviously, and turned it into just like one comedy meme after the next. So anyway, this bit, I've gone on to tell you about the Lake of the Ozarks incident. And I have no idea whether this bit that we're about to play from Vernon Dozier has anything to do with that. But let's go ahead and check it out. This is Vernon Dozier and boating safety.
And I knew it was ill-fated. I knew that the boat ride was ill-fated when the guy who set the camera up kind of pulled his pants up. Excuse me. Hold it. I'm sorry, Phil. Pulled his pants up.
What do you mean, pulled his pants up?
Pulled his pants up, okay, until he had, I'll say it, a manto, and...
Oh, God, what, is this the fifth grade or something?
All right, he pulled his pants up.
Yeah, but he did, he sucked them right up.
Yeah?
He sucked his pants up so you could see both balls, okay?
So what?
Yeah, what, did you get a thrill out of that?
Hey, General, I know you're an old man.
Yeah, hey, if you see an old man, you drive to where he is and kick his ass around the block for drill.
I just might do that, okay?
Ooh, come on.
So anyway, I don't even know what I'm talking about now.
You see some guy and he pulled his pants up so you could... So, yeah?
What a baby. He pulled his pants all the way up, and he goes, and this is when I knew that they had a cursed, that it was going to be a cursed ride, because the guy goes, that's badass, that's a rooster tail camera. Now, anyone that heard that, and I know you did, Phil, you, all of you out there, anyone who saw it.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
All right, as soon as I heard that, I knew it was ill-fated.
Well, why was it ill-fated?
That just the lame sound on it. I just knew if they had a guy like that on the boat, something bad was going to happen. So now the guy that was driving, there's two things, that's strike one. Strike two was, excuse me, strike two was the captain of the boat was bald, just a cue ball. Now, you got a guy in the back who's going, that's badass, that's a rooster tail camera. And then you got the guy that's driving it, stark stone cue bald bald. And then you've got the guy's girlfriend with the navel piercing and the guy's girlfriend's daughter wearing a bikini that's entirely inappropriate, and one of the guys, you can tell really once you get next to that, well, none of that's going to happen because they take off, and Baldy starts to throttle back as soon as he hits the wake. The boat turns on its side. Everybody is thrust into the port side of the boat, and next thing you know, all of these people are messed up. So it happened very, very quickly. It happened idiotically, but it happened, Jack. Oh, yeah, it happened.
All right, well, fortunately, no one was hurt, but they could very well have been seriously hurt.
Yeah, they could have been seriously hurt, because as soon as that boat went on its side, it could have flipped. Had that boat flipped, you would have had, no question, serious injuries, and most likely at least one fatality, because somebody's going to get knocked out, or someone is going to have a difficult time, negotiating what has happened, either because they're not great swimmers and they're underwater, they've got the weight of the boat on them, something's happening, that I don't doubt there could have been a fatality. The fact that there was no fatality, that boat stayed upright in the water, man, I'll tell you, was pretty lucky.
We're talking here with Vernon Dozier about a boating safety, and now I understand the Missouri State Patrol, the Lake Patrol, whoever, what is the name of the authority there?
Well, they got the Missouri State Patrol, but I don't know who runs the lakes there. I guess they got the Lake Authority or some jazz. Yeah, who knows? Who cares? I mean, look, it sounds to me like the state of Missouri is real laissez-faire because they don't want to, infringe upon the constitutional rights of some jackass that wants to plow his boat into a family of six and kill everyone on the,
Oh, give me a break. You're putting me on, right?
Hey, let me tell you something, General. You talk to those guys in Missouri. They don't have any laws. You can go as fast as you want.
Yeah, they do have a reckless driving law.
A lot of good that does. When you're going 8,000 miles an hour and you decide you're going to go ahead and put it right through some collection of party boats, everybody's sitting there with the big cans. And then the next thing you know is you sip your champagne and you eat your whore's Dorvies. Here comes...
yeah.
Here comes Baldy screaming at us. Baldy comes screaming through with his girlfriend and her navel piercing and starts taking people's heads off with the prop on that thing. Yeah, I've seen it happen. Well, no, I haven't.
So you expect that mayhem would reign?
There's no question about it.
Oh, my God. Alex Cohen edited those, and God, that is a funny, funny thing. That's Vernon Dozier, and that is boating safety based upon, as I mentioned, an actual incident. And everything that Vernon is saying there is, he's turning it into humor, but he's right. I mean, somebody could have died had that boat gone over and gone on top of somebody. So check it out. You can find it on YouTube. And the idea of Baldy screaming through a collection of party boats, I don't know why it's funny, but it is to me. Well, welcome to our show today, you guys. This is the best of YouTube. This was a requested show. They said, how about taking all of those clips from... We've heard the classic clips, and we've heard the classic shows, and we've heard them in a various formats, but we've... really, your recent show, Phil, the podcast especially, deserves its moment of the sun. And what we've done is taken clips from that show, and we've turned those into YouTube moments. They're all over on our YouTube channel, which is YouTube.com/ The Real Bud Dickman. All right, so where are we at right now? This is one called Talladega Autoerotic Asphyxiation. So obviously having something to do with the NASCAR race in Talladega. No question. So let's watch this one from our YouTube channel. Again, one from earlier this year. Might have been 2015. I don't know, man, but here it is.
And
what is it called?
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
All right, so to be clear, that's not what happened in Alabama.
We don't know. We don't know. Most likely it didn't. But I have seen at other races where that is taking place. And
so the auto racing fans become so excited.
They become so excited and so, just all, literally, it gets kind of weird like that. And,
well, you're talking about like it gets gay?
No, it doesn't get gay. I'm saying that they just get really excited, all right? And
and they go, ooh, like that.
What?
That's what you just did. You just did that.
All right, okay, if I did, I did. But It sounded weird coming from you, but yeah. I mean, and that...
Well, I can tell you it sounded weird coming from you. All right, gentlemen.
Right, so what happens is auto racing fans, particularly NASCAR fans, Phil, get very thrilled and excited, and a thrill of victory, and, you know, like they used to say, the thrill of victory and the agony of, you know, of the defeat, and that's what NASCAR is all about. It's the thrill of victory, it's the agony of defeat. So when you go to these major races and you see your favorite driver, and he's going faster and faster and faster, and you're standing there with your hands, you're holding the... This happened to me. I mean, I've been in NASCAR races, and you find yourself holding the chain link fence, squeezing it tighter until you're jumping up and down and going, ooh! And you realize, oh my God, I'm 40 and I'm a man. And you retire into your RV and you strangle yourself. And,
uh-huh.
What?
Yeah, right.
All right. All right, I need to use the toilet. Is there...
Yeah, there's toilet paper.
Excuse me.
Well, what is that about? Everybody bailing out?
Pretty much, yeah.
You don't buy it?
Not really, no.
Why?
Because I don't buy it, and I'm not about to tell you why.
So you think... Well, I'm here to tell you it's true.
I'll play along. So the guy gets so excited, he realizes he's acting like a 14-year-old girl and kills himself.
Pretty much, yeah.
What's with this auto asphyxiation or whatever it is?
No, 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 no. Autoerotic asphyxiation.
What?
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Okay. What about it?
Well, that's what he does. He goes, ooh. Then he goes, holy Christ, or whatever he says. Most of them will say, holy, excuse me for saying, is it okay?
Go ahead.
They'll say, holy shit. I'm 14 and I'm female. They'll turn and just drop the program in the mud, go into their RV, and strangle themselves with their, you know, with their pants down. So, say what you want, do what you want, but...
Well, when I...
Mr. Ring, you think I'm making this stuff up as I go?
Yeah, that's pretty much what... Pretty much, yeah, that's what it is. So there is Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police with the autoerotic asphyxiation from that bit having to do with the Talladega race. Talladega is a big, big stock car race. Don't ask me, Talladega, South Carolina? Alabama. Talladega, Alabama. Big stock car race. Obviously, that was when we did that. All right, sports fans, you're listening to the best of YouTube. This is a show we've never done before, but these are clips that are available right now on YouTube and are from our more current, you know, podcast show. And I'm having a ball listening to it. I hope you are, too. The next one we have here is, it's called Reverend Castorini Consents Gay. Again, I'm not really sure when this was recorded. The show description says that... Reverend Dave Castorini discusses homosexuality among ministers, how he can spot which are gay, and accidentally lets a little bit of his homophobia slip through. Well, naturally. So let's listen to this one. From the best of YouTube, Reverend Castorini. And by the way, Reverend Castorini is based on any number of these youth ministers that I see on, and you've seen on television. They're all kind of they're a younger version of the older cats, and they're pitching really the same thing, but they're younger, and I don't know, they're better looking, and they wear cool clothes, and they actually have this following among young people, and to me, it's sort of all the same pitch. But let's listen to Reverend Castorini now, as he's able to spot gay here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show today, the best YouTube.
Pastor Jacob Brown, I don't know the man, I don't know his church, but I probably, it's very likely... Because I know a lot of Christian ministers who are in the closet. And
you know they're in the closet? How do you know that?
Well, I know it because they're married, but they have these effeminate mannerisms. They will walk a certain way that tips it just a little bit. Sometimes they'll just brush their hand across something in a ladylike fashion, and you'll go ahead and you'll mark them. And you'll make a note of that, and if you've got one of your prayer counselors with you, you'll say, go ahead and mark him, because I think he is gay, and I mean gay, it doesn't even contain fully what he is.
I'm sorry, what is that?
Well, that's what you'll say to one of your prayer counselors.
Who are these?
Well, I have prayer counselors that are with me all the time, and I'll make note of things I see, and I'll say, all right, there's one there. You can see the way he's walking, almost as if he was in a modeling class. You see how he's putting one foot in front of the other, and that doesn't mark him as gay, but he could be. And then if he, you know, has those mannerisms, I'm saying...
Well, what are you doing with this information?
What I'm doing with the information, I'm saying, then I'll approach them, and I'll say, again, I only approach the ministers who are in the closet, because I think it's very important. And I will say to them, I'll say, Pastor, I'm Reverend Dave Castorini, I'm with the youth ministry over here in Scottsdale, Arizona, and you look to me as if you're gay. And they'll sometimes look shocked, like, but 9 times out of 10, I'm right. And I'll say, may I, you know, minister the word of God to you? And,
what was that?
I sneezed. I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry if I said a dirty word there.
Yeah, you did. You said the shit word.
Hey.
Sorry about that. Anyway, he will say, well, do you think I look... gay, and I'll say something. You look queer. You don't look gay. You look more than that. You look queer. And hold on, I got a hay fever. You fucking fag.
What did you just say?
I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Now, right there, your homophobia is coming out.
No. That was I sneak. What? Look at that. Right in the rear end of him, huh? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Guy just rear-ended another guy. What are we talking about, Phil?
Yeah, that's very funny.
All right. so I'll say to them, you are advertising. It looks to me like you're trolling. And they'll say, I'm not gay. And no, I'm not. And I'll say, all right, fine. But I do need to warn you that your mannerisms, it just screams that you're pounding. If you're not out of the closet, you're pounding on the door and you want someone to let you out. And those are things that...
Now, how can you judge anyone like that? You don't really know.
I don't know for sure, but that's when I ask them. And 9 times out of 10, they'll say to me, mind your own business. And that right there means they're gay. And
but wait a minute. They never say to you they're gay.
Yes, they never admit it, do they?
No, yes, they do by saying, mind your own business, or I will beat you within an inch of your life. What does that say to you, Phil?
It says to me that you're pissing them off, you're bothering them.
No, you're wrong. You're misreading that. That means, yeah, you got it. You nailed me. I'm as gay can be.
Yeah.
I'm a capital G-A-Y. I am gay, exclamation point. That's what I am. And that's what I is. And you are what you is.
Beautiful stuff there, Reverend Dave Castorini, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, doing the best of YouTube today. The next bit we have here is a relatively new sort of idea that we had. Jim Steele, who is kind of a health freak, I think. He's a positive, proactive, you know, not really new agey, but take control of your life, eat better, think better, feel better. This is a bit called Jim Steele's Live Again, and relatively new characters I mentioned. This is all on our YouTube channel there, youtube.com/RealBudDickman. Anyway, folks, Jim Steele here with you. Jim Steele's Live Again, and we have the Dexter Bourdain Method. Bobby Dooley is joining us. We're going to talk about enhancing and making the skin just shine and glow. And, Bobby, I can see that you've got beautiful, beautiful skin. You've used Dexter Bourdain's methods and facials.
Well, I have. I've gotten the facial almost nightly, and what I love most about it is the beautiful way that it coats the face and can sit and imbue, almost become a part of your skin. And when I finally peel it off, it's painful because it's like an adhesive.
Yeah.
But when they pull it off, eventually after the pain subsides.
How long does it take for the pain to go away? Because you got to be tough.
You have to be tough. The Dexter Bourdain, I would say it takes about an hour before the stinging goes away. But when you get a facial from Dexter Bourdain, you know that you're really in for a treat, because the skin begins to tingle, and you look in the mirror and you don't recognize yourself for a couple of days.
Well, what's that? Well, let's listen to her, champ.
Well, you're waiting for a lot of the skin to regenerate, and but you do. After a couple of days, you look almost like who you look. You look better, though.
You look better. That's what we want to tell people. You look better. You don't recognize yourself for 2 days, but you look better.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. Because a lot of people say, I look in the mirror after the Dexter Bourdain facial.
And you don't recognize yourself, and you're frightened. And you don't know.
What do you look like?
Well, you look an awful lot like someone that's had their face peeled off. But it regenerates, I would say, after an ape attack, you know.
Now, hold on, champ. She's saying after an ape attack, but then it grows back.
Yeah, like after an ape attack.
Well, you look like after an ape attack, but then it comes back. And what you look like after that, you will have people lining up around the block to get a good look at you.
You got some air in there. A cold draft just came through here, and I think Bobby would like like my coat.
No, I noticed I have a cough.
Well, this is Jim Steele's Live Again, Clarence.
There goes Jim Steele's Live Again.
I don't know. There's Jim Steele's Live Again. There's Bobby Dooley, and obviously we're getting in a whole bunch of what do you want to call that? Facial pearl necklace jokes, whatever. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for this Thursday, this is our best of YouTube. And we're playing for you clips from YouTube. Our next bit is one of my favorites. It's a bit called Vernon Dozier Tries LSD. I remember when we did this bit, I tried to put myself into the shoes of a jock, a coach, a guy who'd lived his entire life inside locker rooms and on football fields. What does he know from hallucinogenic drugs? Probably not a whole hell of a lot. What would he see? What would happen to him? Let's listen. Vernon Dozier, Coach Vernon Dozier, our great coach, our beloved coach, winner of the Elwatusi League 8 years in a row, tries LSD.
And when you say a bummer, you weren't thinking about hurting yourself.
No, I wasn't thinking about hurting myself. I was trying to look inside my own ear, and I was just, it was bumming me out because I felt
Try with your own ear? Dive onto LSD?
Yeah, man, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, try to keep up with you, Dickman. That's exactly what I'm saying.
You're trying to look in your own ear.
For the third time, yes, I was trying to look into my own ear, okay?
Well, that's some kind of a nutball thing, isn't it?
I was on LSD. Does that kind of ring a bell? Maybe that'll help you out.
All right, Coach. God.
No, we understand, Coach.
All right. I mean, if you take LSD, you're going to do... I wanted to try to scratch... You don't understand. I was trying to scratch the inside of my elbow with that hand on that arm. So the elbow, the interior of the elbow, I was trying to scratch that with that hand. I was trying to bend my hand all... You don't even... What is so funny?
Well, I think Phil...
No, I want to ask Phil, what's so funny?
Well, I mean, I don't know. So this was the bummer trip.
Yeah, this was the bummer trip. Okay, I don't know, Phil, if you've... Don't tell me, but I don't know if anybody there has taken LSD. I don't want to know.
I have.
Would you shut up? He said he didn't want to know.
I don't want to know.
When did you take LSD?
Oh, LSD. No, I never have.
Well, what do you think I was saying?
I thought you were talking about something else.
Like what?
I don't know, LED or something.
What is he talking about?
What do you mean, bud?
I'm talking about, have you ever bought the LED lights?
Bud, I'm going to kick your ass if you do it again.
What?
You're doing it on purpose, and we know that.
Anyway, so I took this LSD at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember they said to just sit down. Do you want to hear some music? And I said, yeah. And at the time, I think the Moody Blues was a big band. So I said, put on some of the Booty Blues or the Booty Blues or something. And I kept getting it wrong because the acid was coming on, right?
So you're starting to trip.
I am starting to trip.
What'd you call him?
I said, why don't you put on the Booty Blues or something? And they go, what? And I said, put on the Booty Blues. And I started laughing, and then I tried to look into my own ear to find the answer. And then I felt the inside of my elbow, like I said, down the interior of my arm was itching, so I tried to scratch it with that hand. And I was trying to bend the hand down. It's hard to explain, and it sounds ridiculous now, but I had very, very specific reasons for wanting to scratch my elbow with that same hand. And man to look into my ear to find the answer of the Bloody Blues. And
but the name of the band was the Bloody Blues.
The name of the band was the Bloody Blues.
Moody Blues. For those of you who, you know, you've probably heard of the Moody Blues. You've probably heard of the Moody Blues until you want to throw up. That was Vernon Dozier's favorite band there, listening to the Moody Blues while he was on acid. That's Vernon Dozier from our Best of YouTube show today. Phil Hendry with you here. The next bit that we have is one of our more popular bits, and it's not the easiest bit in the world to do, as you'll figure out, because of the fact that it's a little bit confusing. I mean, you really have to kind of keep your act together a little bit on this thing. It's called The Margaret Gray Players, and in it, the characters have to play each other. And I believe, for instance, the general plays Bud Dickman, which is pretty funny. I play the general. Margaret plays me, if you can dig that. And Robert plays, you know what? I forget, man. I don't remember, but let's watch anyway. As we continue with the Best of YouTube, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show channel on YouTube, which is The Real Bud Dickman. So if you go to visit our YouTube channel and you want to see these clips and you want to hear these bits, it is at youtube.com/ The Real Bud Dickman. Okay? Here it is, The Margaret Gray. I don't know, we've done about three or four of these. I don't know which one of these this is, but here is The Margaret Gray Players.
And I'll tell you, I'm a gay man and the gay journalist. And just the reason, why I'm saying that.
You're always saying that, Dinger. What is that about you talking about you being gay? We understand that. You're always saying you're gay.
Excuse me, General. Am I going to be interrupted, Phil?
No, you won't be, General. Allow him to do his report.
That's fine, but I just wonder why the man's always talking about his gay. Everything gay.
General, I have come through a lot. And I'm a gay man. You know that I'm gay, right?
Yeah, I know you're gay, but you didn't tell me. Yeah, all the time. The general knows you're gay, Doug.
Let me tell you something, Dickman. I don't need to hear from you because I'd just as soon bounce your head off of a concrete slab as look at you. So just be advised about that. I'm a gay...
yeah, you're gay man, gay journal.
I'm doing shorthand. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You understand that?
We understand that, Doug. General, don't keep interrupting, all right?
Oh, listen, General, yes, that's right. Doug has every right in the world to say the things that he wants to say.
Thank you very much, Chris Gray.
My name isn't Chris Gray.
I said Ms. Gray. I'm Doug Dinger, and I've come through so much. I came out 2 weeks ago, so I've been down a long, hard, dusty road.
Yeah, that's true, General. Why don't you just go ahead and let the Mr. Dinger see what he's going to say. Wait a minute. You were almost going to say let the and there's only one word that comes after the when you talk about a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yeah, that's true. Boy, you almost said a racism term.
That's not racism, you dumb idiot. That's just homophobia and everything.
I'm not homophobic, damn it.
Oh, yes. You can't be homophobic. I will not be on a program like that.
But somebody let me just talk.
Please, please do, Doug. Go ahead.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And if you bastards... You know something? I'm just going to give you the report, because I've got a lot to do today. I got to get out and cover some more news events with the gay eye. And you know that I'm gay. Everybody, you know that?
Yes, we know that already,
Doug.
Hey,
that's what I'm talking about.
There it is. That was just watching that, and I don't know if you have the opportunity to watch that. Forget it, man. I remember how difficult that was, remembering which character each person was supposed to be, et cetera, and so on and so forth. This is the Best of YouTube here on our Thursday podcast of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I have no idea how long we've been going, but might as well finish a few more of these clips. I tell you what, I think we have time for one more, maybe two more. This is one called Margaret Gray's Irish Dance. If I'm not mistaken, I think I remember this bit. Margaret is dancing around the studio, and her ass is so big, she almost knocks Bud out, and I think he gets frightened. Let's listen. Let's see how this thing develops. Margaret Gray's Irish Dance here on our Best of YouTube show.
Irish jig, that's what I'm talking about. So if you have anything like that...
Yeah, right here.
All right, now watch and learn as I count it down from you, bud.
One, two, the one, two, three, and the one, two. Yeah.
Now watch my feet as they fly about the room.
Woo! Jesus, will you quit?
I'm sorry, Phil. Watch me fly about the room.
Morgan, you can't dance when you keep leaning over to use the microphone. You've got to. Then I won't. I'll just use the microphone as I come near it. Now watch.
Damn, Margaret, you're moving around here, all right.
Yeah!
You gonna stop? Grab her. Grab her, she can't stop.
I got you. What do you think you're doing?
They're playing the music!
Playing the music?
You all right, for God's sake? That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
What do you mean, weird? I was doing the Irish, the jig.
Yeah, well, the jig is up. Huh? Look at that, the jig is up.
That's very good.
Oh, come on.
Law.
Take it easy. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. There you go. There is Margaret's Irish jig. I suppose we should play one more here on our Best of YouTube show, which has gone by far too quickly. All of these, as I mentioned, over on YouTube.com/RealBudDickman. Just remember what it is we are talking about here. Phil Henry Show /RealBudDickman. The next one here, our final one, Karen Smuggles Marijuana. If I'm not mistaken, this would be Karen Deauville. Karen Deauville is a character that we sort of just stumbled on, really. She was based upon every older female caller that I've ever had, they're generally, excuse me for clearing my throat here, they're generally women who are extremely enthusiastic, they're happy to talk to you, they're very upbeat, they're excited and very talkative, and somehow kind of motherly, too, and grandmotherly, I suppose. Anyway, that's Karen Deauville, that was the character, and here she is, smuggling marijuana.
No, I don't want to talk about that. Wait a minute.
Oh, you should only...
No, let's not talk about that. So, Gunther Airlines, huh?
Yes, Gunther Airlines. My understanding, this particular lady, she briefly went on the land after dishing her Gucci heels and luggage stuff with 68 pounds of cocaine. This was at LA International. Do you know what I did, Margaret? I drove a truck. It was my boyfriend's truck. I drove it up from Orlando, Florida, and I drove it to Kennedy International Airport. I had a flight going out on Gunther, and we were leaving to go out on Gunther to Dallas, Texas, and I had probably, it must have been 50 pounds of marijuana in the van.
Well, what were you doing that for?
Because my boyfriend wanted, he paid me $3,000, which was a lot of money there. Well, we drove, and suddenly the linkage got stuck. And so I said to Judy Canova, I said, Judy, get out. And she said, well, I said, I got to unhook the linkage. She was driving. And I said, what did you do? She said, well, I couldn't get it out of drive. I was trying to get it in neutral, because they were in an automobile. You know, it was a traffic jam. And
you don't have to whisper.
I know, but I said you screwed up the linkage because she was jimmying it around, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times with an automatic transmission, that's going to do that.
That's exactly right, bud. I love your crew. I love your show. I love your crew.
Come on, Bennett.
I'll be there in a minute, Herb. So I said, I got to get out of this. And excuse me, Phil, we were very young in those days. I said, I got to get out of this B-I-T-C-H. I said, I got to get out of this ditch. And I got to look underneath this piece of you-know-what. And she's going, oh, I didn't know. Oh, I don't like girly girls. You know, I don't like girly girls. And
okay, so we got to, you know, yeah, I know you got a plane to catch. And what'd you do, crawl under the van?
I crawled under the van, and I got the linkage unhooked. And we're in the Lincoln Tunnel. Do you remember that, Jerry? We're in the Lincoln Tunnel. So I said, let's get this piece of... May I just speak frankly, Phil?
Go ahead.
I said, let's get this piece of shit, and let's get it to Kennedy, and let's get the coke, and let's get the marijuana delivered to my boyfriend's hotel. Yeah, I'm whispering right now because there's a man walking by. He's got a uniform. Oh, are you the captain of the plane? Are you the captain?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, aren't you? You're very happy. So, I thought it was a cop.
All right, so you guys were... is this something that flight attendants do a lot of?
I'm sorry, but Phil just went, is this something...
We always have to note that.
Oh, I did get that, Phil.
No, you don't have to note that. Oh, God damn you, bud.
Sorry, I had to fart.
But your butt fart.
Never mind.
Oh, you, You guys crack me up when you're farting on each other. So what happened was...
Jesus, Bud.
Oh, my God, Bud, you didn't.
Well, you gotta point it out to everybody.
Just move on. So you delivered the marijuana, then what?
Then I got on a flight to Dallas, and when I got to Dallas, on the other end, there's a big man with a cowboy hat and sunglasses. He goes, ma'am, I'm with the Texas... Remember that, Jerry?
No, I'm a Texas Ranger.
He said, ma'am, I'm with the Texas Rangers. Are you Karen Kibbabubby, which is my maiden name?
What is your maiden name?
Karen Kibbabubby. K-I-B-U-B-B-I-B-Y.
Karen Kibbabubby.
Yes. But I got married in the house, Deauville.
Well, you know, I bet you you're happy you're married to a guy named Deauville.
Why would that be? I mean, his entire family, the whole Deauville family's microcephalic. What are you talking about?
All right, so...
What a weird thing to say.
I'm saying the whole Deauville family's what... Because they've got an easy name to pronounce.
So I said, yes, I am. He said, well, I need to talk to you. So they took me into the back, and they said, lift up your skirt. I couldn't believe it.
Well, so in other words, they were frisking you for drugs.
Yes, and they said, lift up your skirt, pull your panties down. Can you believe that? And
no, tell me that. I mean, this is what cops are going to do now, humiliate people.
Yeah, you're just saying that, because you're always got a persecution complex.
No, but it is absolutely true. So they said, you're Karen Kibibi, or Kibibibibi, and I said...
What is your name again?
My name is Karen. Boy, get a little... I'm talking to a guy here.
Karen, he's asking what your maiden name is.
Oh, I'm sorry, General. My maiden name is Karen Kibibibibi. And,
Karen Kibibibibi. You know, that's the kind of name that's going to make me want to strangle a human being before the day lets out, before the sun hits the horizon.
That's very interesting, but I really got to get going here.
Go ahead.
So I said to the man, lift up your skirt, take your panties down. He said, now bend over and spread it. He had a flashlight. And I said, are you getting a good view there? And he goes, whatever. So I pulled my pants up and I went on and I served some hors d'oeuvres.
Hello, Dusty.
Okay, that's her. We got to get going. I just left the program. You have to help. And can I say hello to my friend?
All right, there is Karen Deauville.
Hey. Man, I let her. So she delivered marijuana and everything.
You know, Oh, my God. That is our last bit of the show, and there are more. There are more bits on YouTube. There are far more bits on YouTube. Those are the ones we got to. And by the way, just so you can have the background on that particular bit, that's based on a true story. It's based on a friend of mine. I won't tell you the name of the person, but I am going to give you some interesting sidebar notes. That was a gig, that was a job, that was a run that a friend of mine made in 1974 from Orlando, Florida to New York City. And that person was paid about $3,000. That's $3,000 in 1970. Did I say 74? I think it was 73. That's $3,000 in 73 money to drive a van with I don't know how many hundreds of pounds of weed in the back from Orlando, Florida to New York City. Paid $3,000. That's a lot of bread back in 1974. On the way there, the van literally stalled, and I believe it was the Lincoln Tunnel. I don't know what they were doing in the Lincoln Tunnel coming south to north, but hey. The van stalled in the Lincoln Tunnel. This was a friend of mine who told me that they got out of the van, they got underneath the van itself, and by the way, there was another passenger. The passenger was one of the principals in this weed deal, along for the ride to make sure it didn't get, quote, fucked up. So here's my friend, who I guess needed the three G's. I've never really asked that person, how bad did you need that money, man, that you put yourself through this? But nonetheless, there's my friend driving this weed north, gonna get paid $3,000. There's a cat-sitting shotgun who has already told this person, if we get stopped, I was a hitchhiker, you don't even know me, so you're on your own. They crawl underneath the van. It was a linkage problem with this automatic transmission rental van that they were driving. Fix this motherfucker, excuse my language, in the middle of the Lincoln Tunnel. And if memory serves, I think they said it was during rush hour. Now, think about that. Think about it. And at the time I heard the story, it was right after it happened. I heard the story not more than a week or two after it happened. So that's not going to be bullshit. That's going to be truth because there are people that could corroborate that shit. It's eventually going to get back to somebody somehow. They're in the Lincoln Tunnel. They're fixing the linkage on this piece of shit rental van. In the back of the van are hundreds and hundreds of pounds of fucking weed. And you know that you can smell that shit. You don't have to light that shit up. If you got 300 pounds of weed, weed in the back of the van. Roll the window down. The cop pulls you over. Hi. Okay. You know, somehow, and I think I asked him later, I said, what were you going to do? I said, I was fucked. You know, what was I going to do? Got the van going again. Got to the hotel of this motherfucker that was along for the ride. Got paid off. Dropped the van off there. Split. Went to the hotel that they had reserved for this person. So the whole thing was hair-raising and crazy, but there was sort of a happy ending, which was they paid for a hotel room, gave this person the money, and, by the way, a plane ticket back to Orlando. It's almost as if they're testing your mettle, you know, and once you prove yourself, you're back to the planet Earth. But that story stayed with me all these years, and I worked it into that bit there with Karen Deauville. Well, sports fans, that is the end of this magnificent, and I do mean magnificent, broadcast here, our podcast, or as I have heard it called, a netcast. I just saw that online today. It's not just a podcast. It's not really a showcast. By God, it's a netcast, and that's what we're going to call it from here on out. It's been the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's been my pleasure to be a part of this with you all. And now what I'll do is just head on and edit this thing and present it to you, which you're listening to right now. Thanks for being with me, you guys. The best of YouTube, the Phil Hendry Show, the best of YouTube. Join us at YouTube. YouTube.com/ The Real Bud Dickman. Don't forget that. The Real Bud Dickman. That's our YouTube channel. Go on over and check out some of the clips, video as well as audio that we have over there. World famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Hendry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.